from Romans 12:9-21, and it gives us some indication of what that challenge might involve. Well, more than an indication, what it will involve.
Romans 12, and we're reading the contemporary English version. Be sincere in your love for others. Hate everything that is evil, and hold tight to everything that is good. Love each other as brothers and sisters, and honor others more than you do yourself. Never give up. Eagerly follow the Holy Spirit and serve the Lord. Let your hope make you glad. Be patient in time of trouble, and never stop praying. Take care of God's needy people, and welcome strangers into your home. Ask God to bless everyone who mistreats you. Ask Him to bless them and not to curse them. When others are happy, be happy with them. And when they are sad, be sad. Be friendly with everyone. Don't be proud and feel that you know more than others. Make friends with ordinary people. Don't mistreat someone who has mistreated you, but try to earn the respect of others and do your best to live at peace with everyone. Dear friends, don't try to get even. Let God take revenge. In the scripture, the Lord says, I am the one to take revenge and pay them back. The scriptures also say, if your enemies are hungry, give them something to eat. And if they are thirsty, give them something to drink. This will be the same as piling burning coals on their heads. Don't let evil defeat you, but defeat evil with good.
This is the word of the Lord. There are two portions of scripture this morning. The one that Graham's read for us and the one that Jenny read for us from Matthew. And they do focus on thinking, on the difference between thinking as the world thinks and the Christian challenge to think as God thinks. Not just difference in thinking, but difference in how we behave. Thinking God's way. You know, imagine telling your best friend that they are a stumbling block or an obstacle to plans which you have worked out in some detail. Your best friend tells you you're a stumbling block. That they are a stumbling block to your plans. And that's what Jesus said to Peter. Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. I want you to think of an example, such as there's a storm, it's raining heavily, but your friend has deliberately hidden your coat, your umbrella, your rain mac, your boots, and you cannot go where you need to go. Picture that. They're stopping you from doing what you want or need to do. You see, Jesus wasn't really being rude or nasty to Peter. Jesus knew that he must soon face his death. And that was something which Jesus was afraid to do. It was no help of others. It was no help to him for Peter to say, no, that won't happen. That wasn't helping him in his circumstances. But Peter talked to Jesus as a friend. He was horrified that Jesus was talking about being killed. What did he say? Well, 16:22, Peter took him aside and said, and began to rebuke Jesus. Never, Lord. This will never happen to you. Peter's words to Jesus. See, up until this point, Jesus had been preaching, healing, and doing some wonderful things as he went through his ministry. And while these things were necessary, they were not his ultimate mission. Healing, preaching, doing good things was not his ultimate mission. You see, he'd come primarily to redeem sinful people through his death. That was his goal. That was his primary mission. But Simon Peter objected to this plan that Jesus had, or God had for Jesus. He took Jesus to one side and said, never, never. You know, in the Greek, the word that we translate as never, it means may God be gracious to you, i.e. may he opt you out of this. That's what Peter was saying. May God be gracious and grant you another way. See, Peter's objection was out of concern for his master. He wanted to protect him from suffering. Peter meant to say, Jesus, you don't have to bloody yourself on the cross. Let us find another way. You don't need to go that way. But you know, if Jesus had not suffered and died, Peter would have died in his sins. And so would you and I. So would you and I. See, it was necessary for Jesus to ignore Peter's distraction in order to fulfill his call. Jesus' death was exactly what God wanted. Jesus' death was exactly what God wanted. You see, God sees things completely different from how we might see things. He does things differently from how we might do things. But then God has the big picture which we don't have. He has the big picture. He knows the past, he knows the present, and he knows the future. And Jesus could see that Peter was a stumbling block. He was an obstacle. He could see that Peter was thinking the way that the world thinks and not the way that God thinks. See, Jesus knew that Peter's distraction was not really Peter, but it was coming from Satan. Satan was using Peter. And that's why he said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. You do not have the concerns of God. You do not have the concerns of God. You see, this too is the call of the church to withstand the devil's distraction and to have a clear vision of God's purposes. We need that as individuals and we need that as a church. We need that corporately. A clear vision of God's mission. To see things as God sees them, not necessarily as the world sees them. See, following Jesus means forgetting about yourself, forgetting about ourselves. Forgetting about ourselves and putting God first. That we are not of prime importance, but God is. How do we forget about ourselves? How do we forget about that? It's not an easy criteria to adopt, is it? It's not easy, let's be honest. It's not easy. How do we live God's way? Well, Paul expands on this in Romans 12 that Graham read for us. He says, first of all, forgetting self and putting God first affects the way we behave towards other people. That's the opposite of how the world works. Forget ourselves. We're to love one another. To love one another. And that's not just our friends and people we like. But this is the hard bit. Our enemies also. Not just to treat them well, but we're to pray for them. Wow. We have to pray for them and leave them in God's hands. We're not to think bad thoughts about them, and we have no thoughts of revenge. That's a real challenge. A real challenge. To love our enemies. Paul also says we're to welcome strangers into our group. And this just doesn't mean people we don't know who may come to our church on a Sunday, or are new to people to work or school. But perhaps people whom others would say strange, would see as strange. You see, Jesus loved the outcast and the people no one else did. As I was writing that, it's a real challenge. We live in very political times at the moment. We live in political times, and I never preach politics from the pulpit. But when political issues do come up in our lives, we really need to go back to Scripture and say, what does God say about this sort of situation? And hear for ourselves individually what God is actually saying in the circumstances you've brought to his attention. What is he saying? Lord, this is a tough one, but I need to know your heart. I need to know your heart. Jesus loved the outcast and the people that no one else did. Wow. We're to look at how others are feeling if we're to be living and behaving God's way. How people are feeling, not just how we are feeling. I'm good, so the world's good. That's not the case. We need to rejoice with those who rejoice and be sad with those who are sad. Just recently, I remember praying in the morning, Lord, I really want to be your person today. I just want to feel in that I'm doing your work. And I think some of you know, I go to the gym. And I was in the gym, and I had done my session, and I was downstairs in the sauna area. And this young woman, she'd obviously seen me in the gym, and she said, how did your session go? I says, oh, it's really good. I come down here to relax now. And she started talking to me. And in a conversation, she said, I've just recently been diagnosed with MS. This is a young woman, just recently been diagnosed with MS. And I said, I know a little bit about MS because I had a few in my time. I just know a bit about it. And so we talked about when she was diagnosed and what treatment she has. And I said, if you don't mind, I will include you in my prayers. And she started crying. And I could say to her, It's okay. I came upstairs into the changing room, and I was getting changed, and the gentleman came in, and he started talking. I said, I haven't seen you around before. He says, no, he says, He says, I've just moved into this area. I said, oh, and he told me he lived at Flitwick blah, blah, blah. And he says, I was down Kent, he said, but my marriage is broken down. And I'm putting things together. I'm just trying to get my life together. I've come up this area, neck of the woods, because my son lives up here, and blah, blah, blah. And again, I was able to just say to him, you know, I pray for you, you know. And it's the strangers, you know, the strangers. It's amazing if we put ourselves in a position that we can help in some little way with situations which the Lord entrusts us with. You know, it wasn't accidental that these people came into my path that morning. It wasn't accidental. I'd prayed about it. Pray for opportunities. Pray for opportunities that strangers might come into your life in some way. I've never yet said to somebody, can I pray for you? And they've said no. That's never happened. Never happened. Welcome strangers. Welcome strangers. Be aware of other people's feelings. Rejoice with those who rejoice and be sad with those who are sad. And Paul then goes on to say, we are to live at peace with everyone. And this doesn't mean not starting wars. That's a much more subtle understanding and live at peace with than the vicious nature of wars. It means not answering back when we feel like it. I don't know about you, but those of us who drive, I can get a bit impatient. As I get older and I'm slower at everything, I find that often people are tailgating me. Do you know, anybody recognize that? I see some nods here, tailgating. And it really irritates me. It irritates me. You know, I want to react in some way. And Sonny, my wife Sonny, just says, Frank, let it be. Let it be. Don't start a war. Don't start a war. Let it be. Not answering back when we feel like it. Or starting arguments. Or being unkind and so making others unhappy. Living God's way. Living like Jesus is a real challenge. It means denying ourselves. Jesus said that to be his true followers, we must take up a cross and follow him. Take up a cross and follow him. The very first sermon I ever preached decades ago, and I don't know where I got the title from, but the Lord works in a mysterious way. My first heading of my first sermon was The Two Crosses in Christianity. Cross of Calvary gives us salvation, brings us salvation, and the cross that we too are to bear, the cross of Calvary in our own. You see, this doesn't sound very comfortable, does it? Jesus never said doing things my way would be easy. But he did say he would be with us, particularly when the road becomes difficult. When the road becomes difficult. Behaving as God wants us to behave is difficult because the world notices differences. You know, if I or you were to walk around with a literal, a physical cross on our shoulders, it would be difficult. But if I walked around because I behaved differently, would that bring strange looks upon me? What if you can't actually see the actual cross, but you're still doing what Jesus says? Yes, people may laugh at you. Or talk about us behind our backs. Or try to trick us into doing something wrong. We may not be able to be friends with some people because we're acting in a godly manner. And if we were to make friends with certain people, well, we might be led astray. That would bring criticism. We may even be bullied because we're Christian and we may be persecuted and we may be tempted to to put the cross down and go back the other way. You see, the difficulty of putting God and others first, and the tough way people may treat us, it can become a stumbling block or obstacles to stop us following Jesus. How can we deal with that? How can we deal with these things that come our way when we try to be good followers of Jesus? How do we avoid the temptation to trip up over that stumbling block and not go God's way? Well, good old Paul has solid advice for that as well. He doesn't just mention the problems. He says this is the solution to the problems as well. Paul advises, pray constantly. Pray constantly. Not just every now and then, but we should make it our aim to pray whenever we can, especially when life is hard. And if we find it hard to pray, then we can ask someone else to pray for us. Have you thought about that? I'm really difficult to pray at the minute. Would you pray? I don't know about you, but sometimes when we have our main meal at home, we always say grace and give thanks. And sometimes there's just so much in my head, and I'll say to Sonny, "Sonny, will you pray?" Sonny is from Korea, and she prays in Korean. I don't know what she's saying, but it's a blessing nevertheless. It's a blessing. Somebody's praying. Somebody's praying when I don't just feel 100% like praying. Somebody's praying. It's not a bad thing to follow. Paul also says, be patient. Be patient when things are going badly. It's hard when you're in the middle of it. But let God's hope give you perseverance. Sometimes we don't see things until long after the event and we see how God has been at work. But when we're in the middle of it, we don't always see it. But remember the occasions when we've looked back and we said, yeah, he was there all the time. In the middle of our present circumstances, remember that. God always gives hope. Paul also says, keep going. Keep going. Keep holding on to the cross. Even when it hurts, keep going. Keep going. Don't let it go. And finally, the question I want to ask is, and where we ask ourselves is, why should we live that way? Why on earth should we open ourselves up to all of that difficulties and problems? Why should we live that way? What makes us want to go Jesus' way? What will make us stay clinging on when it might be easier to let go? What makes it so? I could ask you for many ideas and you would give me good, holy, wonderful biblical responses to that. But I think the best is concluded in Matthew 16:27. It says, for the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and he will then reward each person according to what they have done. Now let me say very quickly, good works are not the way of salvation. But we are held accountable, nevertheless. What did we do with our salvation? What did we do with the calling that God placed upon us? We will be held accountable for that. I don't know about you, but sometimes I think, when I meet Jesus face to face, when I was younger, I used to blush a lot. I used to blush in all sorts of circumstances. You know, even if people spoke to me, I used to blush. And I had that feeling of a warm thing that comes up your face. And I think when I say Jesus face to face, do I want to blush in his presence because I haven't been faithful? So when I'm tempted, I think of that. I think about not blushing in the presence of Jesus, because we will be held accountable for the gifts that Jesus has given us and what we've done with them. Good works, again, are not the cause of salvation, nor for which men will be rewarded, though they may be brought into judgment as proof and evidence of true faith in the person, blood, and righteousness of Christ. See, the reward for God in Jesus is eternal life. Him, with him, living with him forever and ever. So, question is living the Christian life worth it? Hallelujah. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, and yes, and yes, it is. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for our salvation. And we thank you for the life that you give us. The life, the true life that's revealed after our salvation as to who we really are and why we're here and what the purposes of our life is. We thank you for all of that. Lord, help us to embrace it all, because you only have good things for us. For we ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. The life that we have in Jesus is beautifully displayed and acted out in the table that's laid before us. It's a table that the Lord Jesus invites you.